Hi, this is Pat from the Linux Link Tech Show, and you're listening to another episode of TWAT. Today we're going to be covering video editing in Linux. We'll talk about some of the applications that you can use to watch different kinds of video codecs, and then we'll get into video editing. Now, this is going to be a two-parter. I've got Dan, who's one of my co-hosts on the Tech Show.
Hello.
Say hi, Dan.
Hey.
So we're going to make this a two-parter. So we'll talk a bit, and then at some point we'll cut it off. And then the second part will kick in, and Dan will talk about his part. So I guess the first part we'll talk about is how to actually get video in Linux, how to actually capture video. One method is to have a capture card. There's different manufacturers out there. One of the more popular ones is the Hophog series, because there is an open source driver, the IVTV driver, and a lot of people use them for their myth boxes. Another thing that you can use these cards for is if you have a video camera, you could feed it into the video in and capture the video off your camera. I use this to take some old VHS tapes that I had and convert them to DVD, and that works pretty well.
Pulled it in off the hoppage card?
Yeah, what I did was I got my VCR with the VHS tapes,
uh-huh.
And just hit play, and I had the cables going into my Hophog card into the inputs. And I captured that and then coded that to MPEG-2 directly. Now, one of the other things that you can record video is obviously a video camera. The newer cameras are all digital video. I know some people have like Super 8 and some of the other formats, but DV, it seems to be the most popular format around. They've come down in price quite a bit.
Significantly.
I have a Canon ZR60. And I think at the time I paid about $300, but they're even cheaper than that nowadays.
Yeah, they've come down a lot. What?
You have a Canon, Dan, right?
Yeah, where is it? It's right here, a Canon.
ZR70, I think you have?
Yep, ZR70. And, I also have an old Super 8, I believe it was, camcorder. And before I started doing this stuff on the Linux side, I used to bring in the video off of that camera through a TV tuner card. It had its own MPEG encoder on there, and then later on I got one of those, the Brooktree chipset 787, the Hoppage.
PTA 78?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. A Hoppage card. That low end, it was a Win TV, I think it was what it was called. You buy at Best Buy for $40 or $50, and using that to pull the video in off of that camera, and it was always such a temperamental thing to do. On the Windows side, it had a lot of problems with it, occasionally locking up and crashing, because I had a Pinnacle Systems TV capture card first, and the software that came with it had a little bit of a glitch in it. But then when I moved over to the Linux side, pulling the video in off of there was about, 4 or 5 years ago, was really difficult.
Yeah, it's really improved the last couple of years, video in Linux. The Hophog cards work really well because the community that's created the IPTV drivers have put a lot of work into it, and it works very well nowadays. So there's a new lower-end card, like the Hophog WinTV 150, which is a newer card. I believe they're less than $100 now. And what that does, that actually encodes to MPEG-2 directly. See, you want an encoder card because it'll encode directly to your format, and that saves a lot of processor, usage on your computer. Otherwise, the lower-end cards, you have to, it's raw video, so all the encoding is done on via the CPU, and it eats up a lot of resources. When I first built a Myth TV box, I had it on an 800 megahertz system. Now, if I was using, just a raw low-end video card to do that, capture card, I don't think it would have been able to do it. But since I was using a card that had an encoder, I used the Hophog 350 card, and it also had a decoder chipset, too, for playback. It worked great. But, that's not so much an issue now as more and more people, the machines are more powerful, over 2 gig, processor, 2 gigahertz processor is standard these days, so that's not so much an issue anymore. If you're going to get a digital video camera, you're going to need a FireWire card. They're pretty cheap. They vary in price anywhere between $15 and $40. You know, $25-$30 is probably average. Most Linux distros these days have the 1394 drivers already in the kernel by default. I can't think of any distros off the top of my head that don't have it in there by default. Can you, Dan?
No, it's usually, I believe most distros have it as a module. So
yeah, it's pretty straightforward. You put, you know, they're usually PCR cards. You put them in there. They'll have anywhere between 1 and 3 ports. And then you can do a mod probe, you know, 1394, raw 1394, whatever. And you should be good to go if it's not automatically detected. As far as capturing off the camera, you can go a couple different routes. DV grab is the batch process, it's, you know, that you can capture with. Kino, which is a fantastic video editor, uses DV grab as well to pull in video. Kino is currently at 0.80. It lets you pull in video off your cameras through the FireWire card. Then you can go in and do some decent video editing. You know, cut your clips, trim the clips. There's some rendering effects that you could do. It also has a whole suite of back-end scripts for different kind of encoding. You can encode to either an MPEG-2, to a Fiora file. You can also go. It can also create a DVD file structure. So if you create a video and you want to watch an DVD, you can do that. The script will do that and it'll run in the back end. It'll take, depending on your processor speed and memory, you know, the time will vary from machine to machine. But it works very, very well. Dan Denedy and his crew have done a fantastic job with that application. You know, recently I've done a whole bunch of home videos, and I've done about 5 or 6 of them recently, and I haven't had any real problems with it. And those scripts on the back end are very easy and very helpful. Dan, you've been using Kino for a bit, haven't you?
Yeah, I have been using Kino.
What are your thoughts on it?
It's really easy, really good application for doing video editing. Actually pulling in the video is very, very, very easy to do. And, you know, it works like a charm.
I guess maybe we can go in about the different kind of video codecs that you can encode to.
Yeah, there's another line of capture devices that work really well with Linux. In vein with the TV tuner cards, there's a line of products, motion and capture playback products, that make use of motion JPEG, and they're usually a little pricier than the typical TV tuner cards that you find. But I'm just looking at one over here on linuxmedialabs.com, some of their products. There's a decompression, the ones that have compression and decompression built in, start around $410. And you got the motion JPEG capture cards, and there's also MPEG-4 capture encoders. So, you know,
it seems to be that the newer cards are having MPEG-4 support, DivX/XVid. You know, the reason being is that once the file's encoded, they're much smaller than the DVD MPEG-2 standard. For instance, an hour of MPEG-2 is going to be about a gig in size, which is pretty large, where if you go into MPEG-4, an hour worth of video is about 350 meg, and the quality is actually very good. That's for MPEG-4 files. Now, the open format is the AUX-Fiora format. That file format, the quality is pretty good, and the files are pretty small in size.
Yeah, and it's pretty easy to get a lot of your current videos that you have into the Fiora format, because the group of people, Azif, that produces the Fiora and the and Vorbis system libraries have a nice little utility called FFmpeg to Fiora, which works great for converting your videos. And that's
to convert what, DivX, XVids, MPEG-2s?
Yeah, I think just about any format that FFmpeg supports. And if you look at FFmpeg's website, You know, the formats, just about every kind of video format imaginable. Except for, I think, the latest version of Windows Media Player. Windows Media Format, what is that, WMV 8 or 9? There isn't, I don't think there's support for that. And according to their website, the video codec, there is support for playback of H.264, but not encoding yet. And I'm not sure if that's
true. H.264 is Apple QuickTime high-definition codec, correct?
It is, I believe it's the codec for MPEG-4. And I think H.264, there's an open version of it, but Apple uses H.264 in their QuickTime product, which I believe Linux should be able to play back with the MPEG-4, the H.264 libraries.
Now, there are other applications to do video editing besides Kino. Some people say that, you know, Kino is very basic. It's basic in the sense that it lets you do what you need to do just to do basic video editing, and the rendering effects are somewhat limited. But it's more geared towards the home enthusiast, someone who's looking to create their own home videos, you know, from start to finish. And in that niche, I think it works very, very well. Another application that's more higher end is Cinelera. Cinelera is a complete audio video production video editing suite. It's very high end. It's very complex. The learning curve is pretty steep to actually get into it, and the interface is not to everybody's liking. We'll leave it at that.
It's monstrous.
It's a monster. For the longest time, it would be the hardest thing just to get the damn thing to compile cleanly. But nowadays, Cinelera, it seems they're making improvements to it. The interface is a little more bearable. Packages for different distributions are available nowadays, so it's much easier to get it up and running. I've used Cinelera a little bit, not that much, just for the simple fact that I haven't had the need to do high-end stuff yet. Have you used it at all, Dan?
Yeah, I've used Cinelera in the past, primarily when Kino wouldn't work for me. Kino is very particular as to what formats you can get video into on. If you're not pulling it off a digital camcorder through the FireWire, it can be difficult to get a video that you already have into Kino. I think it really only supports digital video, maybe some AVIs. You might luck out. So
yeah,
the
full format is raw video.
Right. So if you already have some videos and you wanted to actually try and edit those or do some more with them, without having to use like the command line tools, you can pull them into Cinelera, which will accept a larger variety of formats, and then you can edit them, add some filters, some special effects, and then export them. My experience with Cinelera has been spotty at best. That sometimes it works great, other times you end up with unplayable videos. And rendering the video when you're finished, if you have like anything above 5 minutes, it takes forever to render that video on Cinelera. So it's disappointing when you finally get down to rendering it and it doesn't work right. And Cinelera also has a lot of other outputs. I believe it could do QuickTime, AVI, MPEG, and maybe a few other formats in there.
Another application that you can do video in Linux is Lives. I haven't really used this much, but I've seen some screenshots of it, and people have talked about it. And that seems to be a pretty active application that's under development and use too.
Yes, Lives is I've used it, and actually, so far none of these I think Lives and Cinelera have not approached the ease of use interface that Kino has. But one of the cool things about Lives is if you already have an existing video, you can pull it into Lives and export it out into a format that Kino will accept, an AVI file, or actually, you know, into the digital raw digital format. And the way that Lives works, it uses the MJPEG toolset. So when you pull a video in, it actually exports every frame out into a JPEG file. And when it comes time to pull it all back together, when you're finished exporting it, when you're finished importing it, when you want to export it into your desired format, be it AVI, be it MPEG, I think it supports QuickTime, Flash. If you have the right libraries, it supports all these different encoding capabilities. It will then process each one of those individual image files to produce a video at the your specified quality and at the frame size that you want it to be at. And then you can it could be your finished product, or you could then bring it into Kino. So Lives is a pretty cool application. What's odd about it, though, is the first time you run this, you think the thing is frozen up, but it's actually exporting every frame to an image, to a JPEG image.
So it takes the whole video and just chops it down frame by frame into a picture, then.
Yep, which is, when you're working with the MJPEG toolset, you know, MJPEG can do all that. Put it out into a JPEG file and then pull it all back together the way it's supposed to be. Now, I have never done any extensive editing in Lives. I've basically used it to convert video formats. So I don't know how well it, you know, once you start getting down into editing it, messing around with the audio, I've never actually done any of that in the Lives tool set. But it's something to definitely check out.
Yeah, it seems nowadays there's more and more applications for video editing available. There was also a G-Streamer-based application called
PityV. Yeah.
And that, I don't think it's ready for prime time. It seems to be under development. It's still in, like, an alpha stage.
Yeah, I haven't looked at PityV in a couple of weeks. But actually, probably be a couple of months now. The last time I used it, I think the only format it was really supporting well was Theora. And I was, you know, pulling in videos. Couldn't really do any editing with it at the time. And exporting. It was kind of spotty at best. But it seems to have a lot of promise. Especially with using the G-Stream. G-Streamer framework has a whole lot of capabilities. But it's an alpha.
The whole thing with G-Streamer, though, it seems that it's still really under development. There's a lot of promise to it, and, you know, people, you know, the capabilities, people talk about it, that it's going to be integrated into the various distros for the multimedia frameworks, because that's what it really is. G-Stream is a multimedia framework, so the idea is that you're able to extend it in different applications, and it's supposed to be much more modular and extensible than the current system. You know, where that goes, you know, it's still up in the air, really, where that going to pan out or not, I think. But not to get off topic.
Yeah. One of the things I wanted to ask you before we move on to other stuff, with getting the video in, what application were you using on your tuner to get the video into your system from your VHS camcorder?
I was using MIF, actually.
You were using MIF? Okay.
Yeah.
Because prior to MIF, I know that you can pull captures in using if you wanted XAWTV?
TV?
Yeah. It will pull in, record the video for you, too. It's not the greatest tool to use. And, what is it? I think it's, was it Transcode? The use of LAV record. I think that's Transcode, isn't it? Can pull video off a video capture device, a video for Linux capture device. But I'll tell you what, when we were playing around with doing that about 2 or 3 years ago, it was difficult. There's no nice GUI front end. So you were actually capturing you know, you'd start to capture from the command line, and you wouldn't really know what you were capturing. And when you were finished, you know, you just, unless you had a way to watch the video as it was coming into your system, you didn't know when it would be finished. So it was really tough to do that. There were a couple of front ends. Linux Video Studio was one of them. But if you had a cheap capture card, it really didn't like doing that. I think, what is it, the Zorin cards are what they really wanted to go with, the high-end MJPEG Tools cards. And the using just a Hoppage WinTV never really cut it with the Linux Video Studio. So
that was geared more towards higher-end, like professional video.
Right, getting, yeah. It wasn't, you know, cheap consumer-based stuff that you were able to use as easily as you could the more expensive equipment. And now, with digital video, it's, you know, that's the way to definitely go. It's the easiest way to get the video in through the DV Grab and the RAW 1394 modules. It's just, that's the easiest way to get the video into the system.
I mean, you can code up a script with DV Grab just to go on capture. You can issue the commands to start capturing. You don't actually need to have a full-blown video editor like Kino if you don't want to. You know, Kino just makes it easier. It covers all the different tool sets that are available on the front end and the back end. It just makes it a little more easier.
Oh, yeah. I mean, using DV Grab is simple. We were going to use DV Grab in conjunction with this digital camera recorder here to do our little webcam stuff for the tech show. And to write a script for DV Grab, it was so easy. I mean, essentially all you're doing is calling DV Grab. And if no video's coming across the FireWire at the time, it's not capturing anything. It doesn't capture anything until the camera's on and actually, it's actually on and ready to go. Then it will capture video off of there.
We're going to end the first part right here.
I think that's a good...
I'm going to pick it up on his end. So this is the end of the first episode.
Yeah, so we're going to pick it up in a couple of days. You'll be able to hear my episode. Or our episode still. The continuation of our episode. Any shout-outs you'd like to give, Pat?
No, I'm all shouted out.
All right. I'll give a shout-out just to the community. To Link, who hasn't done a twat yet. And
Or Alan.
And the rest, those other two guys at Tech Show. And...
shout out to Droops.
Yeah, shout out to Droops and all the other guys involved with Twat and Hacker Media for making this all possible. And this is Dan signing off.
This is Pat, and this has been another episode of Twat.